Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to look at the first letter of St. John here in the octave of Christmas. The church takes us each year through this letter of John, and John's letter, gospel, of course, was such an important part of leading up to the celebration of the incarnation, that his profound themes of light and darkness and how the light shines in the darkness and how Jesus is the light. The light that Jesus communicates to the world is his very life. His life is the light. It's just, I find that so inspiring. What God gives to us and what Christianity is, friends, is a new life. It's not just new information, extra information, which enlightens us, but the very light we get, what we have come to see, John says, the way in which our eyes have been profoundly opened, far beyond more knowledge and more understanding, is we beheld a life that no one has ever seen. This life that's in God. No one's ever seen it in a human being before. The life that's in Christ, the eternal life, the divine life that's in the Son of God. That's why Jesus came, friends, to make, and we'll see this in John's letter as we make our way through it over this week and into next week, that he came to give us life. Christianity is life. And it's really wonderful to be able to see that and celebrate that and understand that's the core, that's the very essence of what's happening. We're given a share in the Christ life. And the implications of that are, well, I've got the life of Christ I've been given in baptism, strengthened and lived out in the sacraments and the life of the church. I have within me a new power and a new capacity to live differently. In fact, radically a different lifestyle, a pattern of life that calls me out of the world that's different than the habit patterns that are in the world. The fear, the anger, the alienation, the resentment, the competition, everything that's in the world that stands against the communion and love we talked about yesterday that the Lord is seeking to bring about in the Spirit. We can't live in that freedom. We're still under the dominion of sin and death, the reign of sin and death, as St. Paul calls it, the darkness. But as Zechariah said in this beautiful canticle leading up to our celebration of Christmas, the dawn from on high has broken upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. John used the terminology yesterday that we walk with Christ. We walk in the footsteps. That's a term that's used in relationship to discipleship. Jesus' time, it was not uncommon to see a rabbi and with those who were under the tutelage of the rabbi walking behind him as in making the way through Jerusalem, for example. They walked behind the rabbi. And what happened was this rabbi took them in, these disciples, these learners, took them literally into his life and taught them everything about his life and everything he could teach them. And their whole identity and their whole way of life was being formed by this master. That's a model of what Jesus is doing in perfection. We are the learners. We're the disciples. And we're walking after. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus. And unlike the other masters, they're passing on information, important information, from the scriptures, from the Torah and other things. But what Jesus is passing on to us is the perfection of understanding what Torah meant, what the commandments of God meant. He's the incarnation of it all. And what they saw in him is the full revelation, the true light. But also Jesus gives them a power. He gives them the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us to all truth. And so there's a new power that's present to live a new way of life. It's the new heart that we've been talking about. It's the presence of God, human beings becoming a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus taught us. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. So friends, you have an advocate. If you've been baptized into Christ, you have an advocate. You have the Holy Spirit who's in your corner day and night, who's transforming you, is revealing the person of Jesus to you, the love of the Father to you. He's giving you a way to understand yourself. He's giving you the power and the capacity to actually come into the very person God the Father has made you to be. It's absolutely extraordinary. What a beautiful gift. So today, we're continuing in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 12 and following. We have kind of an interesting and unusual way of John writing. He's writing in like two cycles. He's talking to children, to fathers, to young men. And some scholars say those are references to the whole body of Christ that he's talking to. Others are saying he's talking to the fathers and young men, and they're all children of God. And so there's some dispute about that, but there is a clarity here that John wants us to be able to come to see and to understand. So for example, he says, I'm writing to you children because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. At the name of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. It's this person. We've been cleansed. We stand forgiven. The next verse, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Jesus said, the beginning was the Word, John said. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've come to know the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who's taken on human flesh. And I'm writing to you young men because you have conquered the evil one. It's interesting to see, then he repeats again, I write to you children, going back to children, because you know the Father. All of us who are baptized into Christ are God's children in a unique way. Very different. I've said this on the program. It's important to understand every single human being has been made in the image and likeness of God. Every single human being is of infinite value for that reason. But not every person who's been born, not every single human being is a child of God in the way that John is describing here. What he's talking about is those who've been born again by water and the Spirit, those who have become a new creation in Christ, which the Christ life now dwells within. Your natural birth is not the place where you receive the Christ life. In fact, we're born into slavery. We're under the power of sin. We call it the original sin. That is original alienation from God. And what we need is a new life. We need God's life to come into relationship with God, and that's what Jesus gives us. So he says, children, all God's children ought to know who the Father is. And think of the words, the beautiful words of St. Paul, Romans chapter 8, you know, our hearts cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit cries within us. The Spirit of God in us speaks to our spirit. You know, think of this beautiful reality, friends. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to dwell in you, and he comes to awaken your spirit that's been deadened by the power of original sin. And he speaks to your spirit. He teaches you who Jesus is. He reveals the Lord to you. And then he reveals the Father. And your heart begins to come alive. And your heart begins to cry out, Abba, Father. And you understand that you've been created by a loving Father. And Christ is your brother. And the Spirit of God is transforming you. That's what he's touching on here. And he says again, I write to you fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. He just basically repeated that. And then again, I write to you young men, because you are strong. And the Word of God remains in you. And you have conquered the evil one. You are strong. What makes us strong? The Word of God, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're overcomers. We're conquerors. We're no longer subject to the kingdom of darkness, to Satan and his rule, where he enslaves the human race, leads us into bondage, keeps us in slavery, and is doing everything he can to lead us to eternal separation from God. But we are more than conquerors by what? By this word that's been put into us, the seed of the Word of God that's brought us from death to life. And that Word is a person. It's Christ himself who is the Word of God. He's the one who's overcome. We're sharing in his life, so we're overcomers. Sin does not conquer us. Sin does not have its way ultimately with us. We stand cleansed and forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because we're now living in him. And then John goes on to talk about our relationship to the world. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. He's talking, the word here is cosmos. And one way to understand it, and the way John's referring to it here, is to understand that there's a dimension of human society that's simply set against God and the rule of God, the commands of God, the authority of God, which requires humility and submission and surrender and ultimately faith, hope, and love acting in right relationship with God. But he's saying, don't love this fallen world. That is, don't will what this world wills, right? We call, God defines love in his son, Jesus. Jesus comes to will the good of every single one of us by bringing us into the Father's purpose and plan. If we love the world, we're going to be like the world. We're going to desire what the world wants for us. And we're going to desire it for other people. We're going to draw people into it. So don't love the world, this fallen dimension of the world and the things that are in it. He said, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James, the writer, chapter 4, verse 4, the letter to James says, to love the world is enmity with God. You become an enemy of God. If we attach ourselves to the world that's resisting God, we stand against God and we become God's enemy. We're called to be a friend of God. Christ makes it possible for us to be in right relationship and to be led into the way of peace, as Zechariah described it, into right relationship with God. John goes on, he says, for all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement of the eyes, the pretentious life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Yet the world and its enticements are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. This is why Jesus wants to bring us into the commandments of God, which simply just express the life of God. That's the life, and God's way and his kingdom that's going to exist forever. All the resistance to God, John reminds us, is going to pass away. Jesus is going to deal with it. He touches on the way of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, the pretensions of life, the sensual lusts. That's the first thing he mentions, you know, sensual lust, just the sins of the flesh, the disordered bodily desires that are in us. And Paul says, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put away the lusts of the flesh. And we know well what they are, friends, all kinds of them. And then the lust of the eyes, or the desire of the eyes, the enticements, what we see in the world, the glitz and the glamour and the gold that we're attracted to. I remember when I was in college, a friend of mine went out deep sea fishing off the coast of Oregon. And on the way back, we were driving by Reno, Nevada. And we came there about early in the evening. We happened to come over the mountain. And we saw all the lights and the glitz. And I'd never seen it before. And we said, hey, let's go down there. And we're like, we got there and there was an energy and we're going from place to place. But after about a half hour or an hour, honestly, it just felt super empty. And it seemed like make-believe and it was fake. And both of us were scratching our heads. We went and had a good meal. The rest got in a car and kept trucking. But what the world wants to show us is come and see the glitz, you know, the money, the lights, the entertainment, the lust. And so that city was full of all kinds of stuff that represents the cosmos as John's talking about it. And it's still that way today. And then the pretentious life, being boastful. James as well in chapter 4, verse 16, said boasting, he said it's an expression of arrogance. And it's evil to boast and to pound our chests and to exalt ourselves above other people. This is a lot of what happens in the world, you know, constant battle to get to the top of the heap, to live in the right place, to have the right car, to have the right neighborhood, to have the right friends, to get involved, to go to the right parties, to wear the right clothes, to be at all the right stuff. That it's very, very tempting to express a kind of pride and arrogance that causes us to look down on other people and look at the Lord at the Last Supper, friends. This is what love looks like. This is what humility looks like. This is what it looks like to come out of the world. Jesus washed the feet of sinners. Even people who were going to deny him and betray him, he washed their feet in love. That's the kind of humility we're called to. Blessed be God. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.